X's and Bros here on the Michigan Sports Network is brought to you today by TwinSpires Online Sportsbook Racing and Casino. Download the TwinSpires Sportsbook app today, and new users can enjoy 7 days of risk-free betting up to $1,000 using the promo code FREE1000. Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Halen, Ryan Elke in the Motor City Studio. Anthony Bellino coming to you from the Radio Bunker, joining us on the horn right now. He covers the sporting world for the Detroit News and also a host of the Locked On Red Wings podcast. Our friend Nolan Bianchi, you can find him on Twitter at Nolan Bianchi. Nolan, my man, first and foremost, thanks for taking the time to join us today. How are you after a big-time 3-1 victory the other night against the Carolina Hurricanes on trade deadline day?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, all things considered. You know, a lot of things with the Red Wings this year, feel like as if I've been beaten into a pulp. But these last, 72 hours, you sweep the Hurricanes over the weekend. Starts on Saturday with Adam Ernie continuing the streak. He comes back again, scores the 20,000th goal in Red Wings history on Monday as they also get the win. And then, of course, as you mentioned, a little bit of craziness on Monday with that trade coming through well after 3 o'clock. So doing pretty good myself.
You know, when we look at this trade, and there has been some movement on this Red Wings roster as they, you know, Steve Yzerman continues to try to, you know, retool and rebuild this thing kind of from the, I wouldn't necessarily say from the ground floor up, but based on all of the salary cap implications and the guys that were on some deals that were rather expensive when he got here under the Ken Holland movement, I don't think anybody can really, you know, we can't really be mad about the streak of 25 consecutive years of playoff appearances, especially now when Detroit sports are really in futility. It is, we'd take any playoff appearances at this point. So we got a little spoiled there at one time. But when you think about what Steve Yzerman has had to do in his little over 2 years of being here, when you look at it, what's priority number one? Is it drafting the talent, or is it attacking the roster that was assembled when he got here and trying to get the books correct, right? Get this team under the cap and give them some freedom of movement to move forward.
I think it's a little bit of both, right? Like the drafting and the roster building portion of it, like the building through the draft. Like that's one completely, you know, different thing all by itself. You have pretty much kind of carve out how you want this roster to look, how you can time this out so that, you know, you get good guys before they got to get paid their biggest money. You build a roster from the ground up. You hope that, you know, like when he was in Tampa, you can, you know, get some team-friendly deals or whatever that may be. But in both senses, it's kind of a little bit of a waiting game, right? Like you saw Yzerman be a little bit proactive with buying out Justin Abdelkader over the summer. But, hey, you still got Franz Nielsen. You still got Darren Helm's contract, all those types of things that are kind of hampering him, have handcuffed him. Obviously going back to last season, you have Jonathan Erickson, Jimmy Howard, like all those numbers on the books, and you can't really do anything about it because if you try to shift them off and clear the cap space, then you're going to end up losing assets in that process. And then, if you try and buy them out early, it's going to be more of the same. You're going to end up hampering yourself long-term. So I think it's more right now of weathering the storm and meanwhile preparing yourself for better days, because like I said, there are some things that he can do and he's done a really good job. But at the same time, like, does Franz Nielsen really not need to be on this team right now? And he's opened up some roster spots and some younger guys have had the chance to get in, but in the meantime, he's got some good veterans in there. He's got some good guys that are in the room and kind of just got to get through it and wait for those contracts to run out.
Where were you when you found out? I was at home, you know, trying to follow along on Twitter, just waiting for something to happen. Anthony Mantha has been a topic of conversation. Where were you at when you saw the news? What was your first thought when you saw the deal that he was headed to Washington?
I was going to Best Buy. I was like, I thought the trade deadline was over. I didn't expect anything else. And then, boom, there it is, well after 3 o'clock. And so I was just as shocked as anybody. But again, not necessarily at the trading of Anthony Mantha in itself, but I would say that the trade partner, the timing of it all, And then the return as well. The return was absolutely fantastic. Get Jacob Verana, who's a very good young player, fits into the timeline of the rebuild just a little bit better than Anthony Mantha does. You got to take on the contract of Richard Panik, but in doing that, you end up getting a first and a second round pick. So you're kind of preparing for right now, and you're also continuing to build towards that future, which I think Steve Yzerman has done an excellent job of. He might have slightly hampered their ability to be competitive next season, but when you think of long term sustainability, I mean, if you possibly have first round picks coming through the timeline or coming up the pipeline, like, that is going to help you later on, because you're going to be able to let some guys walk, and you know, it's not going to be the end of the world if you have to lose a guy in free agency, because you got that next man coming up. Kind of like we always used to see with the Red Wings when they were back in their heyday. It was like you could let the guy sit in the minors for 3-4 years while he found his game, and then when he comes up, he's fully NHL ready. So I think that is part of it too. I don't know if that answers your question. I'm a little off base from where were you when you heard the trade, but just kind of my initial thoughts on it.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love it. I thought that, you know, even though you have to take on Panik's contract, he's a guy that reunites with Steve Yzerman from his early days. Stevie Y was actually his first GM when he got to Tampa Bay. And for Verana, if you look at the last 3 years and just kind of compare stats, comparable numbers to Anthony Mantha, a year younger and a little bit lighter on the salary cap as an individual, even though they came over in a package deal. But to then get a first and a second round pick, I couldn't believe Washington, and following along on the, you know, Caps Twitter a little bit just to get a feel for what they were thinking, it kind of felt like they were kicking themselves, and they couldn't understand why they gave up, you know, a first and a second for Anthony Mantha. A lot of pressure on him headed to Washington now to perform. But I absolutely loved what Steve Yzerman got in return.
Yeah, I do as well. I mean, and if you look, you just mentioned the numbers. Like, yeah, the numbers are pretty similar, like the counting stats, but the underlying numbers are even a little bit more in Verana's favor. Anthony Mantha over the last couple of years has played around 18 minutes a night, and Verana has been more in the 14 minute a night range. And we kind of touched on it on our recap over at Lockdown Red Wings yesterday. Mantha is 106th in goals per 60 over the last 3 years. Jacob Verana is 6th in the NHL. So he's somebody that really hasn't. I don't know whether it's been totally the situation with Laviolette. Like, I mean, they have a lot of great players over there, where Anthony Mantha has been forced to kind of be the focal point too. And I think that actually works in your favor as well when it comes to the cap structuring. Anthony Mantha, despite being on a deal that when it was made at the time, a lot of Red Wings fans were like, oh, they fleeced him again. Like, every move Steve Yzerman makes, it seems like there's some sort of fleecing going on in that mix. But you have to remember that Anthony Mantha was coming off a really, really, really good season the year before, despite the injury that kind of messed that up. He was a point-per-game player, had that injury, was out for a while, but even so, commanded a pretty decent number within the flat cap year because of the fact that he was producing so well before he got hurt. And then he found his groove when he came back. But Jacob Verana is kind of on the opposite side of the spectrum. Like, he is an RFA after this year. It'll be interesting to see what Yzerman does in terms of term on that next deal. But at the end of the day, you got a guy who's coming from a much different spot when you're negotiating this deal. And who knows, maybe it ends up being a thing where he gets Jacob Verana for a lot cheaper than he got Anthony Mantha. And he's able to keep him around just a little bit longer. And I just really like that aspect of it as well.
I really do too. I was floored by a lot of fleecing going on with Steve Yzerman. If he called my cell phone, I'd be afraid. You know what? I'd give up your girlfriend, give up your wife. I mean, how are you gonna tell the guy no? I don't know how he gets it all done. Noel Bianchi joining us right now. You can find him on Twitter at Nolan Bianchi. You can find his work for the Detroit News, and of course, hosting the Locked On Red Wings podcast. When you watch this team, which has not been easy at times, this team has been a difficult watch, to say the least, because some nights it's like, okay, I feel like I do when I watch the Pistons. I know that they're going to more than likely lose, and I think that, you know, from a fan's perspective, you want the higher pick, so it's okay if they lose, but you want them to be competitive doing so. This team at nights has shown that, yes, they can be competitive and they can play a full 60-minute games. And then for other nights, which feels like maybe it's a 75-25 split, the 75% of the nights, they just look completely outclassed. And I don't know what to make of it. What do you?
Well, I think that the important thing to note is that regardless of how frustrating it is, and believe me, I'm as you know, at times as frustrated as anybody. But as frustrating as it is, like, this is still a major step forward from what we experienced last year. Because last year, a lot of nights, the story was, holy crap, how are we only losing this game 1-0 after the first period? Like, that was kind of the sense that I got from everybody. And it was, it'd be like the shots were like 18-6. And the Red Wings just were outclassed. And the second period happens and the dam bursts. And all of a sudden, it's 4-0, 5-0. This year, it's a little bit different, right? Like, especially in the games where they've gotten the crap kind of kicked out of them. It's been like, maybe not the games they've had the crap kicked out of them, but a lot of the games where it seems like they're out of it from jump, it's a lot different from last year because they're getting like 2 scored on them in the first 10 minutes and then they fight all game to get back and they just don't have the firepower. So I think it's a different type of frustration. It's less like nervous energy for the impending doom type of stuff. It's more like you can, to some degree, expect them to buckle down even when they do have rough starts. Obviously, like the series against Nashville has been kind of an outlier in that sense. But hey, after last night's game, or Monday night's game, they're now 4-3 against the Carolina Hurricanes. They've done pretty well against Tampa Bay Lightning. They have played up to their competition, but for whatever reason, when they played, you know, a team like Nashville or Chicago, even, like, they just completely lie down and have died at some points over the season. And I think that's been extremely frustrating. Is like, hey, they're playing a lot better against these good teams. Why can't they keep the energy going? So the Florida Panthers in that mix too. I mean, for all their faults, they have played the Florida Panthers extremely tough in this season.
He is Nolan Bianchi. Nolan, when you look at this team and you're watching him out there skate, and okay, we see the trade for Mantha goes through. You're on board with it. I'm on board with it. So of course, Stevie Y, like, yeah, send the paperwork through if you haven't done so already. Nolan and I both agree this is a good deal. When you look at this team, what do they need the most? Because there are nights where, you know, I just feel like they need everything. And we were so spoiled for so long with so many great players and free agents that wanted to come here. The drafting was great. We had the Russian Five, if you want to even, you know, go back further, you know, to end the period of time in which the Red Wings were not successful. And it didn't happen for Steve Yzerman overnight in the 80s. And it's not going to happen for him overnight here as a general manager in the 2020s. But when you look at this roster, what do they need the most? Is it a prolific scorer? Is it a blue line defender like a Nick Lindstrom that can give you 15 years of quality play? Is it consistent goaltending?
Yeah, I think it's unfortunately, and this is kind of a cop-out answer, but it's a little bit of everything. Like, they don't have a really good number two center behind Dylan Larkin. Robbie Fabry has kind of taken over that role at times this year. He's been pretty good. But I think ultimately on a contending team, Robbie Fabry is probably a winger on this team. I'm not 100% sure about that, but that kind of, you know, you hope to have a better option as your number two center in the next, you know, 2 or 3 years. They also need like a superstar. They simply don't have one. Mo Sider can be a superstar. I think he's a guy that will definitely like pick up Norris votes. Like, he will be a guy. Like, he will be somebody that you really can hang your hat on the blue line. But as far as like a generational talent or a player like Steve Yzerman was for the Red Wings back in those days, they don't necessarily have that yet. And you know, you hear comparisons of Lucas Raymond to Mitch Marner, and that's all good and well, but you need an Austin Matthews, and you don't have one. You need a number one, bona fide number one winger or center, whatever it may be, that is just head and shoulders above everybody else in the league. And then on the backside too, like, I think they're honestly going to be somewhat okay there in due time. It's just going to require a little bit of patience. They've got some guys that are coming over. I mentioned Mo Sider. I feel like he'll probably jump into the top four almost right away. He's had a heck of a season over in the SHL with Rogla. They actually played this morning. I think they swept Lucas Raymond's team for Columbus. So they're kind of on a hot tear. They'll probably go to the championship, and he'll get some good experience with that. But then, you know, you got other guys in the pipeline like Albert Johansson. You got William Wallinder. And just outside of that, you don't really have any sure things. Like, you have a lot of pieces that you think are going to be nice and you hope they work out. And hey, let's be honest, some of them probably will, but they're just not here yet. And I think that's a big frustration of the Red Wings this year too, is like, the help is on the way. We know who the help is. They're just literally overseas. And then on the goaltending aspect, just to kind of round that out, they don't really have a bona fide, like, up next goaltender in the pipeline. They got Keith Petrozelli. He just finished his career at Quinnipiac. He was very, very good. Finished as a finalist for the Hopi Baker Award, one of the top players in hockey this year, and has put up unbelievable numbers. But, hey, let's see what he does when he gets to the AHL, when he gets a shot in the NHL. I don't think there's anybody who's necessarily knocking on the door in them too. So to kind of wrap that up, just a little bit of everything, unfortunately.
You know, Nolan, as you mentioned, having that bona fide star, I don't know, and maybe we do this a little bit because we've seen it, or maybe we do it because we're Lions fans and we tend to overvalue things. But there has been, I don't know if I would necessarily say, you know, disappointment, but between the trading of Anthony Mantha, Andreas Anthanasiou now gone, Dylan Larkin still there, this kind of like core group of youngsters that were going to bring us to the promised land, that obviously hasn't happened. I don't know what to make of it. I don't know what to expect out of Dylan Larkin. You know, I see other teams have their number one center, have their captain, and they have in themselves, you know, 30 to 40 goals a season, where I don't know if we're going to ever get that out of Dylan Larkin consistently. Am I wrong to feel somewhat disappointed?
I think I agree with you that we probably won't ever get that consistently. I don't know that it's necessarily the worst thing in the world. Like, Dylan Larkin could reasonably be the number one center on this team when they're contenders again. But I just thought he's not like the showstopper, you know, and he's the guy that makes the right play. He's the guy that's always moving his feet. He's the guy you always look to make a big play. But the fact of the matter is he brings a lot of intangibles to the table that are really, really nice. Unfortunately, I don't know that he's going to completely take over a game. And I think that's fine. Like, I don't think that's a disappointment by any means. I mean, you look at Dylan Larkin, he was picking the teams. Okay, he's a first-line center. He's your captain. He could, you know, potentially maybe like to get somebody better in front of him. But I don't think that, you know, him not necessarily putting up an insane amount of points. I actually think you tweeted it out over the last 3 years, has had quite a scoring mark on this team. I just think that this team in general needs more help too. And we haven't really seen Dylan Larkin outside of a role within these last couple of years where it's been first line or bust. Like, especially last year, they just had zero depth scoring. So it was like, hey, if they just shut down Dylan Larkin, then they're probably going to win the game. Or if they shut down the first line of Mantha, Bertuzzi, Larkin, whatever it may be, they're going to win the game. I just think he needs some help. And I think that will, as we see this team get some skill, in terms of depth, kind of moving up and down that lineup, and you can kind of plug and play with some more talented players, it's definitely going to help his production at least a little bit on that front as well.
He is Nolan Bianchi. You can find his work at the Detroit News and also for the Locked On Red Wings podcast. Nolan, my friend, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. Great stuff, and look forward to doing this again sometime soon.
Absolutely. Would love to. Thanks so much for having me on, man. It was a pleasure talking to you today.